tonight, I'm doing a teaching that I started last week Sunday. Systems of Divine Intervention, Part 2. Last week we did Part 1, and so tonight I want to do Part 2, and I'm going to do up to Part 7. So get ready. You are in for supernatural interventions. Glory to God. And so last week we said, God has a system of help that He has put in place for humanity. And I said that system is divided into three folds. Number one, I said, is a system of restoration. Number two, I said, is a system of intervention. And number three, I said, is a system of preservation. Restoration is God's way of bringing to you things that you have lost on account of the challenges you encountered in the past. Because when God comes to help you, He helps you indeed. And He has a system in His kingdom that makes Him bring to you whatever it is you must have lost in your past dealings. And I told us, even scientifically, that's verifiable. Because one of the laws of matter states that matter can neither be created nor destroyed, but can be converted from one form to another. And I said, on account of that, we can infer that even if something leaves you, it doesn't leave this realm. It is somewhere. It probably has taken another form. And God, in His sovereignty, is able to provoke an occasion in restoration, so that which is lost is brought back. And then I said, there is a system of intervention where God comes into the challenge and gives you an advantage in order to deliver you from that problem. These are things that are captured within the perimeter of the authority of God. And then finally, I said, there is also preservation. And I said, in preservation, God, in His powers, forestalls every attack or impending danger that you may get into, either by the orchestration of the enemy or by insufficiencies on your part. And so when God helps a man, and helps him indeed, there is restoration, there is intervention, and there is preservation. Taking care of past, present, and future. And this is what makes the man truly come to the place of advantage. 1 Samuel chapter 7, from verse 12 to verse 14, we saw how God helped Israel during the time or the days of Samuel. And we saw that in this help of God, there was both restoration, intervention, and preservation. Can we get this system working? So we project scriptures. By the way, let me have them here while we are waiting to do that. 1 Samuel 7 from verse 12. It said, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shem, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So everything that's about to happen from now on, Samuel called it the help of God. And then he began to give us the dimensions of the help. Verse 13. He said, is that projected properly? Go back to verse 12. Hitherto has the Lord helped us. Verse 13. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel's life. They were in the middle of battle. The Philistines were coming to attack, and it was quite ferocious. If you read previous verses, you saw that when Samuel slaughtered the lamb, poured the oil on the stone, it thundered from heaven, and God discomfited the Philistines. So that's the continuation. And he said that was the hand of God that was against the Philistines. So that's a system of intervention. That battle was stopped, and the Philistines ran back immediately. But God didn't stop there. You proceed to verse 14. And he said, and the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to them. So God did not just come in to stop the ongoing battle. Even the defeats they suffered before and the cities they lost, God reclaimed it back to them. And the Bible said it was from Ekron even unto Gath. So this is restoration. You see intervention, you see restoration, and God didn't stop there. God now went further and he said, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace. That's preservation. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. So they didn't attack them anymore because God preserved them. While they were attacking them, God intervened. And the things stolen from them, God restored. So when God helps the man, there are three areas that he handles. Past, present, future. When he deals with the past, it's called restoration. When he deals with the present, it's called intervention. When he deals with the future, it's called preservation. Now, I said in dealing with this subject, it's important for you to understand that although on account of God's sovereignty, he can occasion this on his own accord. However, there is also a caveat in this equation that we can provoke it. Because if you look at this scripture, in 1 Samuel 7 verse 12, Israel were not just there saying whatever will happen, will happen. Israel were not just sitting and God just said, this is my people, and he came in. There are contexts where God operates like that. Nonetheless, in case that is not happening, you can also provoke the help of God. Because we saw that it was Samuel that provoked the help of God. Israel were fighting. They had no understanding on how to occasion the help of God until Samuel came and erected an altar. Poured oil on that altar, sacrificed a lamb, and called it Ebenezer. And he said, until now, the Lord helped us. And immediately, things began to happen in the spirit. So anybody and from anywhere can provoke the help of God in his life. So it's no longer a thing that you wait for, hoping for to happen. It is something that you can occasion any day, anytime, if you understand how. Now, because of the robust nature of the syllabus, we decided to zoom in to intervention and understand how divine intervention works. And so we started looking at it and we said there are seven cadres of divine intervention. And I said the first cadre is the realm of the restless spirit. If you don't come to that point where you are tired and you say enough is enough, you will continue in your peril. You have to come to a point where you say, listen, this thing cannot go on anymore. That is when the gates, the portals of intervention begins to open. In Genesis 27, verse 40, the Bible told us an interesting story about two brothers. The elder brother was the one the father scheduled to be blessed. But on account of divine orchestration, it was the younger brother that would be blessed. And I don't have time to study or to show you the character of Jacob and the character of Esau and why the blessing had to go to Jacob. Because even when they were born, there was a battle in the womb and a mystery took place. Glory to God. But the focus here is on Esau. Jacob had taken the blessing and was gone. And Esau shows up, pleading and asking to be blessed. And Jacob said, there is no more blessing. Instead of blessing him, Jacob now went further and began to utter words that would rather hurt the guy's destiny. He said, and by the sword shalt thou live. That means Jacob is telling Esau, where you have found yourself, you will fight battles all your life. So if you achieve anything in life, it will be out of sheer warfare. Anything you can't fight for, you can't have. In your lifetime, forget about things like favor. In your lifetime, forget about things like mercy. They won't exist in your context. If you ever possess anything, you will fight for it. And that's not all. And he said, you shall serve your brother. That means your brother has attained a position of advantage that all your life you will be under him. So this was a difficult place to be. Nonetheless, he gave him a secret. He said, and it shall come to pass. He said, when thou shalt have the dominion, and thou shalt break his yoke off thy shoulders. Another translation said, it shall come to pass that when you become restless, he said, then you shall break his yoke off your back. So whatever it is you are going through, a system of intervention can be orchestrated the day you become tired. If you are not tired, you are permitted to continue in that sorrow. If you are not tired, you are permitted to continue in that pain. You go read your Bible. Many times, people were with Jesus and they were suffering until they made the decision to press for help. Take for instance, Peter was sinking before Jesus. And you are asking, I thought if I'm in the presence of God, I'm covered. Yes, but you will be covered if you know what to do. It's not just enough that you are in God's presence. The man was sinking, and about to drown until he said, Master, save me. And the Bible said, quickly, Jesus reached out and pulled him up. On another occasion, they were in the boat, and the boat was sinking, and Jesus was sleeping. You and I know that Jesus can't drown. But these guys saw danger. I knew at first they were trying to manage the situation. We are experienced fishermen. Let's navigate to the left. Since the wind is coming from the right, the wind will carry us. Let's navigate to the right. Since the current of the water is going to the right. A point came, they discovered experience can't help you. We are about to die. They hit the frequency of the restless spirit. And they shouted, Master, Master, carest not thou that we perish? That's not a casual communication. And immediately, Jesus stood up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and there was a great calm. If you don't get to the restless spirit, you will have a problem. Many people who are going through crisis and have remained there are there because somehow Satan has manipulated into their mindset that they can manage the situation. Somehow, Satan has manipulated them to believing that this situation is what everybody is going through and nothing can be done about it. Anybody who does not hit that frequency and say no, no more, he will never have intervention. And the sign that you have gotten to that frequency of the restless spirit is that you cry out. You make demand. And the intensity of your demand suggests the degree of your frustration. If your demand is casual, you may not have what you are looking for. It said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. That's what avails. It's not just the prayer of a righteous man. The Amplified Version calls it heartfelt, continued prayer. So you get to a point where you are praying with intensity and resilience. I won't stop until there's an answer. When you hit that frequency, your prayer becomes like incense in the heavens. Heaven won't rest. Jesus himself taught us in Luke 18, verse 1 to 6. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he said, there was a wicked judge that neither feared God nor feared man. He said, but there was a widow in that city that came to this judge day and night, troubling him to avenge her of her adversity. And Jesus said, this judge told himself, although I don't fear God, although I don't fear man, but if I don't attend to this widow, I won't rest. For the purpose or the sake of my rest, let me give her her answer. And he said, how much more your heavenly Father? That means Jesus is telling us that even in the realm of God, there is regard for the restless spirit. When a man becomes restless, things happen in his favor. Did you not read about Jacob? An angel wrestled him from night till morning. And he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Eventually, the angel looked at him and said, as the prince, he said, thou have wrestled with God and with man, and you have prevailed. If a man becomes restless, things happen for that man. Please, I beg you, refuse to be comfortable with your challenge. If you give accommodation to any issue, it will remain with you forever. Whether it is sickness or gang up or oppression, Rise up. The day you rise up is the day your intervention comes. Israel was in captivity for more than 400 years. They were crying. They never rose up. The man that eventually brought the intervention was the one who became restless. A point came. Moses became troubled. My people can't continue like this. Although the strategy was wrong, but the action was respected. And the Spirit of God led him to a 40 years training. And he eventually came back. Why didn't God appear to any other person? Nobody was ready to take steps for intervention. The guy who was ready was naive, was inexperienced, but he was still the one God worked with. If I have to wait for 40 years to train this one, he's the right person. Every other person who is not restless will be a wasted venture. So I will rather take this one to the backside of the desert. I will rather encounter him. I will rather train him for 40 years because he's the one who has the requirement. No other person is restless. Only the restless one can challenge Pharaoh. Only the restless one can say enough is enough. Only the restless one can remain there for years and not change his mind. And true to it, for 40 years, Moses never changed his mind. Some of us are too comfortable with our problems. It is well, even inside the well, you will die there. It is not well inside the well. If you are inside the well, come out. When Jeremiah was thrown into the well, he never kept quiet. The Bible said from that well, he prophesied. From that well, he lamented. When Jonah was in the belly of the whale, he never kept quiet. From the belly of the whale, he shouted until the answer came. The problem with you is that you are comfortable in the well. I prophesy to someone, because of your restlessness, your challenge will end now. One of the most potent deceptions of the demonic realm is to tell you that you can still endure for another day. The Bible says weeping endures for the night. If a joy cometh in the morning, if it exists one night, then it's not good enough. Weeping may endure for the night. Joy cometh in the morning. It says our light affliction, they are for what? A moment. We cannot permit it to exceed a moment. I prophesy over someone, anybody going through any crisis, because it has exceeded a moment, I decree and declare, they go down now. Please hear me. Jesus is called the lion and the lamb. You know the problem with many Christians? They are the lamb and the lamb. They are choking you to death. You are quiet. You call it piety. They are killing you. You are quiet. You call it humility. No. No. The lamb carries the character of God. But the lion carries the powers of the Spirit. See, there is a time when you must rise up and say enough is enough. There is a time when you must rise up and say no more. Because heaven is waiting for you. The day you rise, then you will know that there are ministering spirits sent for to minister for them who are heirs of salvation. Our angels are waiting. They cannot ask because we are quiet. It's the day you rise up that you will know that there are personal angels and there are transgenerational angels. There are territorial angels. There are national angels. All of them will come into alignment to support you, fulfill your purpose. Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Adonai Yahshua, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Adonai Yahshua, Yeshua. Can you pray? Go for 1 minute. Can you tell something?
Can you say something? The night man will fight with weapons of the spirit. Many kept quiet and died. I read the story of the wife of John Austin. They said doctors gave her a few days to live. The husband, mighty apostle of healing. And those were the days of the healing revival. So you turn left, you see a healer. Turn right, but they gave up. What the woman should have done was to pack her bags, lie down, and start waiting for people to come, show compassion, and then she died silently. But somewhere in her spirit, she knew that the heavens were waiting for her. Every being was waiting for her. And she stood up, gathered 40 scriptures, and every day she began to fight. She began to fight. She began to fight. The timeline the doctors gave passed. A year passed. Another one passed. Please hear me. They told you will die. You will only die if you accept. If you don't cooperate with them and you become violent, something will happen. The Bible said until the time of John, the kingdom of God suffered violence. Say the violent. When you keep quiet, you know what happens? They begin to suggest, and then every day it deteriorates until it becomes hopeless. Myself and my wife went to see a family friend, an ambassador, 2 months ago. They found tumors in her throat. First they said thyroid gland, thyroxine or whatever. After a while they said these tumors need to be studied. It's appearing like cancerous tumor. The woman knew, Kai. Before you know, they started suggesting chemotherapy. She said, Kai, wait. At what point? Because it happens so fast. It's like a slippery ground. Before you know, today, they said, no, it's just a pulse. Tomorrow, they said, thyroxine. Tomorrow, they said, chemotherapy. Then it becomes full-blown cancer. But she was wise. She shut down everything, locked herself in the room, and she started talking scriptures from morning till night. Talking scripture. After a while, she was inspired to reach me. And I went with my wife. When we got into the house, she left her bedroom. She was sleeping in the parlor. Bible here. Messages playing here. Chant. She prepared for war. When I saw her, I knew this one can die. And I looked at her. I spoke the gospel. After a while, when the place became charged, I began to curse the growth. I caught the growth. After 1 week, I showed you the message she sent me yesterday. Suddenly, the tumor began to dematerialize. She will go to cough. The tumor, green stuff will come out. And in 1 week, everything poured out of her system. If she lay down, she would have died. Somebody is receiving strength from this service. They will not lie down for your enemy. They will not lie down for your attack. They will not lie down for your challenge. I prophesy over you. Come out of that place. Come out. Come out. Please hear this. Understand how the realms work. Leave nothing to assumption. Assumption is the lowest level of knowledge. Nobody conquers by assumption. Master how the realm works. In this kingdom, it said only the violent have the right to take. They take it by force. Nothing is given. Everything is taken. And is taken by force. I read to you the story of the prodigal son. The guy worked with his father for many years. Many years he was faithful. Many years he was obedient. Nothing came to him. And when the brother who was riotous came back, the father accepted it. And this guy was offended. I thought there is reward for faithfulness. I thought there is reward for obedience. Yes, there is reward. But even though there is reward, you won't have it until you make demand. The father said, everything I have is yours. He said, but you never ask. You must become brutal to take what is yours. Sit down for a moment. Sit down for a moment. This thing works. This is the protocol. I can give you 1,001 scriptures about people who were violent. You go read Matthew 15, 22 to 28. You read the story of the Canaanite woman. He said, when Jesus came out of the coast of Sidon, the woman followed her. My daughter is terribly vexed of devils. Come and heal her. Jesus didn't answer. She never stopped. Until the disciples became frustrated. Master, if you will not attend to her, tell her to go. The woman still kept talking. A point came, Jesus turned to her and said, it's not meet to give the children's bread to dogs. And the woman was not deterred. He said, even the dogs have the right to take of the crumbs that fall from the table. Immediately, Jesus stopped and turned. Woman, great is thy faith. The economy I'm working now is only for the Jews. But with this doggedness, you have the right to break protocols. Go, your daughter is well. If a man can trouble God to answer, is it the devil that will stop you? I prophesy over someone. That affliction ends now. The restless spirit. Don't let anything cool you down. No. Don't let anything cool you down. Stay hot. When Satan sees redness of eyes, he has regard for it.
Yahweh Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth.
Sit down for a moment. Let's step down a little. What I want to share tonight, I need to be calm. But you know, when you enter an emphasis, the energy comes. Hi. You are too comfortable with cancer. How can you be working with cancer and you are crying? Is that the time to cry? You have been in one spot for 10 years. How are you able to sleep? When men sleep, wake up. It's an abomination to sleep. When kings go to war, even kings war to possess their inheritance. How can you be sleeping and hoping somebody will come? Nobody is coming. Even the ones that will come, you will call them from your altar. You will call them. Tehelekina, Sahite, Kapara, Kakatana, Sakatwa, Helelalo, Samite, Ateata, Tina, 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 Scripture we just read in 1 Samuel 7, 12 to 14. Does it not surprise you that a whole nation is being destroyed? God didn't do anything. And one man with understanding came and turned the whole situation around. Because the realm is a legalistic realm. It has already been programmed. So if a nation is not restless, that nation will die. But if one man rises, who can say no? He can change things. And the moment Samuel came into the camp, things turned around. As you return to your family, things will turn around from tonight. God will not only touch you here, as you return to your families, things will turn around tonight. Thank you, Father. Please sit down for a moment. We need to speed up a bit. Oh my God. Oh my God. Invest in your spirit. Invest in your spirit. Don't let anything cool you off. Some of you, somebody pointed a hand at you and said, "You will see." You are having dreams. You are having attacks. And you are sitting there. Don't let people tell your story after you are gone. You must fight your way. You know, somebody wrote me a message yesterday. He said, "Thank you for teaching a generation how to ward off bitterness and evil desires." He said, "I watched people rose up against you for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. You never back down. You keep quiet, you drown. Sleep, you'll be buried." A generation must wake up. Otherwise, people will tell your story and you have no say in it. Somebody is coming out of something this moment. Thank you, Father. The second system of divine intervention. I'm showing you this platform so you know what to anchor your faith on when you are fighting. When your spirit becomes restless, start fighting. You will get results. That's an activity of the Holy Ghost. It's part of the powers of your spirit. It says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you ask or think, according to the power at work on your inside. That restlessness is a spirit activity. So when you feel it, fight. And culture it and sustain it. Number two, system of intervention is the system of divine mercy. When we are roaring, these are the things we anchor our trust on. There is another force that necessitates intervention. It's called the mercy of God. What is the mercy of God? The mercy of God is a core attribute of God that reflects His love, His patience, and His kindness towards humanity. It's an attribute of God's essence
that reflects His love, His patience, and His kindness towards humanity. It is God's compassionate response to the sufferings and the sins and the weaknesses of humanity. God's compassionate response to the sufferings, the sins, and the weaknesses of humanity. It is God's willingness to forgive, to restore, and to withhold judgment that is deserved. And instead of that judgment, responding with help, with grace, and with salvation to them that seek Him. So when we talk about God's mercy, we are dealing with the dimension of His nature. And this nature is expressed in love, patience, and kindness. This nature pushes God to respond to humanity in compassion in areas of suffering, sin, and weakness. And this nature stirs up a willingness in God to forgive, to restore, and to withhold judgment. And instead of judgment, provide help, grace, and salvation to those who seek Him. When I studied about God's mercy, in my own estimation, the mercy of God is the strongest anchor in God for humanity. If there's anything you can hold on to in God that you can bank on, come what may, in my estimation, is the mercy of God. And I give you three reasons why. Number one, the Bible told us in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, it said the reason why we are not consumed is because of God's mercy. 22 first, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassion faileth not. And then verse 23 said, they are new every morning. So it's a supply in God that never runs out. Even for the sinner. Even for the weak. There are many dimensions of God that will stop working in your life when you fall into sin. Mercy is not one of them. Even sinners have access to mercy. That's why it's the strongest anchor in God. Not encouraging you to sin, but in mercy, there's never a too late. There's never a too far away. It is like the everlasting arms of God that reaches even to the lost. This is why salvation was sponsored on the strength of mercy. Ephesians 2 from verse 4 to 5. The Bible said, God who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. So it was mercy that sponsored love. And then He went to verse 5 and told us that even when we were dead in sin, had quickened us together with Christ. He said, by grace you are saved. So the grace that saved stemmed from the love of God, and the love of God stemmed from the mercy of God. This is why mercy is so powerful, because it gives even the sinner a chance. In fact, when you go to James 2:13, the Bible says mercy prevails over judgment. So even in the face of judgment, mercy still has a voice. This is where God insists on humanity, even when they have no merit. And so if a man will be guaranteed of God's intervention, then he must understand how the system of divine mercy works. And because of our time tonight, I will show you five things obtainable in mercy, and then I will show you eight ways of provoking mercy. You need it. There are four prayers I pray every day of my life. Number one,
which is always the first, is Lord, have mercy on me. Number two is Lord, help me. Number three is Lord, let your will be done. Number four is Lord, thank you. This is one of my secrets. People who know me know that my covenant with God is the covenant of mercy. I tell you guys every day that I can that it is because of mercy I'm here. I can't find anything in my life to point to as a merit for anything happening in my life. And I'm not trying to be modest. I know my journeys. Even me disqualified myself many times. I told you guys here, at some point in my life, over 15 years ago, when my mom died, I told myself, where is this prayer? Where is the so-called faith? I broke and I went into the world purposefully to tell God that I don't care. Because I don't know how to be faithful. My mom is one of the biggest intercessors I know in my life. Praying every night for herself, her family, and everybody she's connected to. There was a point when my dad started asking, what is your problem? You wake up in the night to ease yourself, she's praying. What is that thing that never gets answered? And then she was cut off. I said, no. Either this thing is not true or what we are taught is wrong. So for now, let me enjoy my life. It was in the club that I heard a voice. The wages of sin is death. I had an encounter in the club. Not in the revival service. So I'm not here by merit. I'm here by mercy. God insisted on me. That's why I came here. So my covenant with God is the covenant of mercy. And I can show you different aspects of my life that if mercy didn't speak, I would have been the worst among men. But when God brought me, He refined me and turned me to an answer to a generation. This is why I don't give up on anybody. I know no matter what state you find yourself, the mercy of God can reach you. Whether it's be sickness or sin or failure, God can bring you out. And in this service tonight, He's not only going to heal, destinies will be recovered. Ordinations will be born. In the name of Jesus Christ. Mercy is powerful. But there are five things you need to understand about mercy. So that as you make demand of mercy, you will know what mercy will do for you. Because there are jurisdictions to the operations of mercy. Number one is deliverance from judgment. Everywhere there is mercy, judgment is limited. This is why you will need mercy till eternity. Because the last gate you will cross in life is the gate called the White Throne Judgment. Any day mercy is withdrawn, you will see the full weight of judgment. And so mercy will always be important because it delivers from judgment, whether in light or in darkness. See, some of you seated here, some wicked elders that have stake in your family, have stake in your bloodline, have sat and sold the destiny of all of you. The reason you are prospering and they can't explain is because mercy prevails over judgment. Some of us here, when you were born, they took umbilical cords, merged them together, did rituals that nobody will rise above certain levels. It's not even like you are praying, but you are rising. Even you don't know. And they look at you, they think it's not true, they check it's true. And they don't know how you broke that judgment that was passed in the covenant. Because they secured the will of all the elders. They secured the will of all the fathers. How come you are prospering when we say nobody will prosper? Why have you not died and you are now 45? When the law we wrote is that everybody dies at 44. It's because of mercy. Because when mercy shows up, judgment stops. James 2:13. It says mercy prevails over judgment. I function by the anointing. I function by faith. But I know something called mercy. That's always my last card. See, there are situations where you find yourself. You check yourself. You know that your faith has collapsed here. You know, there's a possibility of shipwrecked faith. There are situations you find yourself. You know that your discernment has failed you. It's when things have gone wrong. You now remember, when I was going to that airport, I heard a voice say, don't travel today. You will know that you failed in discernment. Many times, you will fail in faith. You will fail in discernment. And even the oil will not be there. But there's one thing that will never fail you. The moment you look up and say, Lord, have mercy. That supply comes from the divine realm. So there is no judgment that can take you out if you will subscribe to mercy. He said, for mercy prevails over judgment. That's why Lamentation 3:22 that we read a moment ago said, it's for the Lord's mercies. Oh, you need to know the quarters where they wrote you off. Some of you, on your job, the bosses have all sat down and they say, let us see how he will rise. Say we are the ones who will sign. Some of you, in your business, all the partners have ganged up and said, let's see who we buy from you. And you are not even aware. Is it not when you are aware that you will fight? The reason God will send somebody from China to buy all your products, even though they have ganged up against you and said, in this market, nobody will buy from you, is because mercy will give somebody your address. Mercy will call your name on certain corridors. It delivers from judgment. It delivers. Let me give you an example. Moses in Exodus 32 from verse 10 to 14. God, this is not Satan. You know, when it comes to the God realm, it is hopeless. If men rise up against you, there can be deliverance. If Satan rises up against you, there can be deliverance. But when God says you are finished, now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them and make thee a nation. That's power talking here. The nation frustrated God to a level. God said, I will wipe them off. I have enough power to start a nation with you, Moses. Let's destroy these people. But Moses knew there was a card that when you bring it out, even God withdraws his judgment. It's called mercy. What did Moses do? And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? We thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Next verse. This is intercession. That's why I tell people. Some people say they are intercessors. And they don't have skill. Bargaining skill in the realm of God. Intercession is not just ho, ho, ho. You go read your Bible. One of the greatest powers of an intercessor is utterance. He understands the covenants of the Spirit. He knows the ways of Elohim. So he can stand before God and draw cords in the realm of God. That's what gives an intercessor rank. So there is intensity, there is tenacity, but there must be skill. See what Moses was invoking. How can you destroy, number one, your people? Number two, the ones you delivered. Number three, by a mighty hand. He didn't stop there. Go to the next verse. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out and to slay them in the mountains? And to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent from this evil against your people. And the Bible said, invest. We need men. When I read some scriptures, I say, where are the wise men of Shiloh? Where are the wise men? Where are the sons of Issachar? Who can stand in the courts and plead the cause of a nation? Oh, the days where one man, a nation is in trouble, and one man can say, wait, let me go to the mountains. And he will go and bring verdict for a generation. We need to be taught in the spirit again. See the utterance of a man. He didn't stop there. Remember, he has entered covenant. A man bargaining with God. Remember Abraham. Remember Isaac. Remember Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self. You didn't swear by any man, you swore by yourself. To whom thou swearest, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land I have spoken will be given unto thy seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Remember them. And the Lord. Oh, Malakatoa. This is not that God made a mistake. A man had brought something to the table. A man of stature, a man of rank, a man of understanding has come to the table of bargain, because war either ends in the battlefield or the tables of negotiation. A man has shown up with intelligence to provoke something in the realm of God. And the Lord repented of the evil that he taught on his people. The only possibility for this to happen is God's mercy. Because he said, I'm the Lord, I change it not. So when God comes, you can, through mercy, show him his covenant. Show him some things. The people have not repented, but look at your covenant. You can't deny yourself. You don't change. You promised Abraham. You promised him. And God remembered. So wrath was substituted. Mercy prevails over judgment. I won't kill them anymore. Let them live. We will help them. I'm talking about an economy that changes judgment even from heaven. See, I don't know what they said about your destiny, but today we have come to rewrite your story. Everything evil that was said about you, by the strength of mercy, I decree and declare, they are altered now. Those who swore will die. Those who took your names to the shrines. Those who ganked up against you to bring mischief. We are speaking on the throne and on the strength of mercy. In the name of Jesus the Lord, let judgment be torn. Sit down for a moment. Mercy. There is no evil judgment on my life that will stand. Not one. If my faith don't deal with it, the anointing will deal with it. If the anointing does not deal with it, the prophecies over my life will deal with it. If those prophecies don't deal with it, the blood and the testimony of the word will deal with it. And if that doesn't deal with it, then mercy will prevail. We have too many backups. Backups upon backups. Backups upon backups. I prophesy over you. You will not fail. These are the things we think of and we chant. Because there are times when, no, you don't have vocabulary. So you chant, you chant, you chant. It has gone beyond my intelligence. It has gone beyond my discernment. This one is the finger of Elohim. Oh, Do you know that the doctor's conclusion is a judgment? Do you know that the conclusion of the judge is a judgment? Do you know that the statement your circumstances are making is a judgment? I decree and declare over you, every negative judgment on your life, they are changed now. Sit down for a moment. Number two, mercy rescues from destruction. Make no mistake, assuming you came out of that accident because you luckily chose a good seat. Make no mistake to assume that that house you are living in was not burgled or was not burned down when there was a fire incident because of the location. There is an economy that God has over his children, especially those who are conscious of it, for exonerating them from destruction. Mercy is the name of that economy. Mantokai. Psalm 136 verse 24. They say he has redeemed them from their enemies because his mercies endured forever. He had redeemed us from our enemies, not because of our powers, not because of our wit, not because of our intelligence. He has redeemed us from our enemies. And whatever it is that attacks your life is your enemy. He said, because his mercies endured forever. In Nehemiah 9:31, God was speaking about his own people that should have been destroyed, but were exonerated because of mercy. Nevertheless, he said, for thy great mercy's sake, thou hast not utterly consumed them, nor forsake them, for thou art gracious and a merciful God. Every time you see a believer come out of a destructive scenario, it was mercy that spoke. Destruction is not designed for men to escape. If you find a man escape destruction, know that a superior economy was at work. And that economy is called mercy. I'm listing this thing so that when you start invoking mercy, you know what to channel it to. Because most of us don't know what we have or don't know what to do with what we have. That's why we are where we are. So when we are talking mercy, we are not just talking about a vague reality. When we are talking mercy, we are talking about a system that exonerates from judgment. So a Christian has no reason to be helpless, regardless of whatever judgment that is being passed on his life, because there's a technology to deliver him. A Christian has no basis for perishing in destruction, because there is a system that God has put in place for his deliverance. It's called mercy. Did you not read about Lot? In Genesis 19 verse 16, the whole of Sodom was to go down. Somebody entreated God, and God showed him mercy. Lot didn't have a justification to be delivered, because when he left Abraham, he left his altar. There was no record that he practiced what he learned from Abraham. He was in an adulterous city. The Bible said his soul was vexed daily, but he did nothing. And he didn't even know what was happening in the spirit. But somebody secured mercy for him. And because of that mercy, although a whole nation was destroyed, he came out. Does that not suggest to you that what is happening in your neighborhood is not enough to destroy you? See, many Christians don't know the systems of advantage that we have. So they are in a little estate. Something happens and they group themselves with the people. A nation was destroyed. A man who had mercy came out. That's to tell you that there is nowhere you can find yourself and be found in destruction. He said, 1,000 shall fall by your side. He said, 10,000 by your right hand. He shall not come near you. See, build this consciousness that a nation may be destroyed that will come out. There are Christians today, very little thing happening. They fire 3 staff in their jaw and they lose their sleep because they think they are the next person. Why do you think you will be the last person to be attacked? And the whole system can crash, you will come out. This is the extent of to the functionality of mercy. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. The man who had mercy never perished. I'm talking to somebody. This is deliverance coming for someone. And by implication, I'm telling you, they may sack 1,000 workers. They won't sack you. Because even if a nation were to be destroyed, God can bring you out. And He will bring you out. Because mercy delivers from destruction. And that's not all. Mercy sponsors healing and restoration of health. There are men who are sick who don't have faith. You study John chapter 5 and John chapter 9. You read stories of two men that had no faith. One was by the pool of Bethesda. 38 years. When the water is there, is there nobody takes him there? Jesus came, he didn't recognize him. And Jesus overlooked everything and said, rise up, go home. If it was based on faith, that guy will never be healed. And there was another man born blind. Jesus showed up. Who's seen that this man was born blind? Is he his father? Jesus said, forget about that. He's Satan walking here. If we don't show mercy, he'll be blind forever. And Jesus commanded the eyes to open. So there are circumstances, health-based circumstances, that all the anointed men pray for you. You exercise all the faith in the world. You pray all the prayers you know, and you know you can't handle it. Even in that situation, don't give up. There is something called mercy. A man was there for 38 years. So long as he remained, there was a day that mercy will find him out. You need to understand this. You will not die in that sickness. There is an economy of mercy that won't let you. And this is why we teach people on how to make demand of mercy. You read the story of Bartimaeus. A guy so blind that he was named after his blindness. That means he became popular because of affliction. And they called him Blind Bartimaeus. Mark 10, 46 to 51. But there was a day Jesus was coming. He knew that if it's based on merit, I'll be blind forever. And there was one cry, Son of David, have mercy on me. If it is mercy you are calling, God will not be able to deny himself. Jesus entered the city. The guy didn't stop. When Jesus was coming out, he still stood on that card of mercy. Son of David, have mercy. And the master stopped. What do you want? He said that I might see again. And he said, be it done to you according to your faith. Because you believe in my mercy will speak for you. What you are going through, does the whole city know it? This guy's case made him popular. Yet he believed that God's mercy could reach him. Is it the one happening just in your family that you think mercy has forgotten you? As I teach you on how to make demand of mercy today, see, most of you, things will turn around. You will be so shocked. You will be so shocked. Because the Bible said in Romans 15:4, it said the things that were written aforetime, it said they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. These are not stories to excite. They are strategies of God to bring deliverance to many generations. Mercy. Mercy. It brings healing and restoration. Number 4. Mercy brings restoration and deliverance from death. And when I say debt, I mean situations that have become hopeless. Because there are levels of situation. When it becomes truly, truly hopeless, there is something that can still provoke an answer. If you study 2 Samuel 12:13, it has been proclaimed that the house of David shall be a house of sword. And it was supposed to be wrecked. But when David acknowledged his sin, he found mercy. And when he found mercy, God himself made a commitment to David that there won't come a time when he won't have a seed on the throne. A house destined for death, suddenly something sprang out of it. And eventually, even Jesus came from the root of Jesse. He was called the son of David. Finally, mercy gives second chance. Some of us are here because of the God of second chance. If there is no second chance in God, a third of those you know today won't be there. Two third won't be there. And maybe all won't be there. In the economy of mercy, God gives you many second chances. Not as an occasion for sin, but as a statement that he won't give up on you. Any man who is sincere will tell you that he failed God many times. I read a scripture. My focus tonight is to show you how to provoke mercy. Psalm 86 verse 5. Is therefore thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto them that call upon thee. The moment you call upon him, he is always there to give you another chance. God sent Jonah to lament over Nineveh and declare over the nation that they will be destroyed. And the Bible said the whole nation repented. The moment they did, God gave them another chance. The prophet was angry. These people are too bad. Don't give them a second chance. God said, you are not God. It's me who is God. You know, sometimes when we preach and lament over sin, we become more judgmental than God himself. Imagine God is sending a prophet to a nation. The prophet escaped. God gave him a second chance. Caught him in the way and brought him back to assignment. And the nation he went to preach to repented. He didn't want God to give them a second chance. That's the double standard nature of men. If God doesn't give second chance, you should have rot in the belly of the whale. How did you come out? And Jonah 3:10, the nation repented and God gave them another opportunity. I don't know how many times you failed God. And I'm not teaching lasciviousness. But hear me. God will remember you. And he will give you a second chance. I've met a few people. 5 years they are crying about when they fell. And they told themselves that God disqualified them. That they are no longer worthy. That is Satan talking to you. The Bible said there is hope for a tree that is cut down. He said at the scent of water, it will rise again. A tree that is cut down. We will never encourage iniquity. But we will also never tell you that God has given up on you. So long as there is breath on your nostrils, mercy can rout another opportunity. Either for an individual or for a nation. This is why we never let go of mercy. So mercy engenders deliverance from judgment. Mercy sponsors rescue from destruction. Mercy sponsors salvation and healing. Mercy produces deliverance from death. And mercy gives anybody who cares to call a second chance. This is why mercy is too important. Somebody is in this service tonight. What you need is healing. For his mercy's sake, he won't leave you in sickness. Somebody is in this service tonight. What he's looking for is the second chance. An elderly minister came to me late last year, weeping. What happened? He fell into sin. And he said, since that time, he lost his prophetic gift. He lost the healing grace on his life. And he has been begging God to have mercy on him. When we started speaking over time, he discovered it was not God that withheld it. It was his inability to forgive himself and for his conscience to be purged that was stopping him from manifesting. Because the gifts and the callings of God, they are without repentance. He didn't give it to you because you qualified. So he's not taking it because you disqualified. So why he's stopping you from living in sin and recklessness, his hands are always open to show you mercy. When the prodigal son came back, before he asked for forgiveness, the father ran to him, gave him his shoes, gave him his ring, gave him everything that made him father, and brought him to the house before the guy ever apologized. Does that mean God encourages riotousness? No. But his mercy always has a chance for you. If you will open yourself to his mercy, you will discover that even at the verge of being buried, God can do something. So your calling is not lost. Your giftings are not lost. But there is a protocol for securing mercy. How do you receive mercy? Number one. This is where you cannot lose me. Because if you get this, your healing will come to you on a platter. If you can get this, your deliverance will come to you on a platter. If you can get this, your salvation will come to you. Don't miss me. Number one, you secure mercy through genuine repentance. Although mercy is available, but it's not cheap. There's a protocol. Everybody you see who have accessed mercy, there is an understanding working for that person. You know, one of the questions I've asked myself in recent times and has troubled me is the fact that there is too much inequality among men. You find one dying of hunger, you see another one having too much that he cannot but waste. You find one frustrated to death, you see another one living in so much rest that he doesn't even know what to do with it. And I'm wondering, are you not the God of all flesh? Are you not the Father of all spirit? And the Holy Ghost began to open my eyes. I'm not a respecter of men. Every man has what he can access. It's available, but you determine what you can take. This is why I've become deliberate about mastering how to access and walk in spiritual realities. Can you imagine that every one of us seated here tonight has more than enough mercy never to be sick, not to be destroyed, not to be judged, not to waste? Nonetheless, several of us have been wasted. So what is the difference? The difference is in our understanding to appropriate realities. This is why you must understand how spiritual things happen. He said, he made his ways known to Moses, but his acts to the children of Israel. The one who is in charge is the one that knows his ways, not the one who sees the act. Most of us know God is merciful. We have seen God's mercy in the lives of others, but we don't know how to sponsor it for our own life. This is how you get mercy. Number one, genuine repentance. Proverbs 28 verse 13. If you repent, you will find mercy. He said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. He said, for whoso confesseth and forsake them shall have mercy. Most of us, we are seeking mercy, but we have not made up our mind to turn away. So it's a waste to be helped. Because no matter the mercy we receive, we still go back. And the Bible says, do not give holy things to the swine. They will trample it underfoot. So if you want to secure mercy in any corridor of your life, you must check, what is it that is hindering me from accessing God? Turn away from it, and you will discover that mercy will come to you. Isaiah 55 verse 7. Please learn these things. These are not deep things, but many have neglected them. He said, let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he is abundant in pardon. If you don't repent, mercy may be available, but you may not access it. Hope you know the prodigal son repented. The Bible said he came to himself and he said, my father has too much even for servants. What am I doing here? I will rise up. I will go to my father and I will ask my father to forgive me and I will tell him to make me one of his servants. So the guy was not just repented, he was broken. And when the father saw him, he could see that brokenness. That the guy who left is not the same who came. The one who left was riotous. But this man coming here, this is a broken man. That's why the father didn't bother waiting for him to say sorry. He already saw the repentance. He saw the brokenness. Most of us are asking for mercy, but we are not ready to repent. You got HIV from sleeping around. And you are saying, God help me. And even in the hospital, you are eyeing the nurse. Are you not a joker? The same thing that put you there. And God is saying, at least now that he has repented, we are sure of heaven. Let him come home. Because if he's healed, the next time maybe he will die suddenly. His soul will be lost. So the mercy you will receive is to come home. We are sure that the door of heaven is open. If you want mercy, repent. You are laughing as if you don't know it's true. It's true. It's true. David repented. Psalm 51. You see the account of David. Verse 12, 1 to 12. And verse 17, the man repented. Because most of us are quoting the short message of David. The short message of David. David repented. After Bathsheba, there was no another Bathsheba. Don't make your nest in iniquity. And you are calling short message of David. The man repented. If you repent, you will find mercy. Number two. How do you secure mercy? By calling unto the Lord in prayers. I read for you already Psalm 86 verse 5. Anybody that calls upon the Lord genuinely, God's mercies won't let him. He must reach out to that person. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto who? Them that call upon thee. These are some of the scriptures that answered my question. Mercy is available only for those who demand for it. So don't look at somebody and start asking God, why? Check, have they asked God for mercy? You will see somebody sick and you will look at the person and you will think, oh, why is God so hard on people? See the condition of this person until you talk to that sick person. Some sick people have the strongest bitterness in their spirit. Even the ones helping them in the hospital, the way they talk to them, you'll be shocked. You'll come around somebody who is sick, smelling literally, and somebody is there cleaning him up. And if you hear, he talks very terribly to the person. You sit with him for 10 minutes. He has sworn about 5 people that he will forget over his dead body. And he's dying. Your prophecy is about to come to pass. So don't look from a distance and make conclusions. A man will find mercy if he repents or if he calls upon the name of the Lord. The Bible said in Lamentation 3:23. He said his mercies are new every morning. But that they are new every morning does not mean you will have it every morning. Look at verse 25 and 26 of Lamentation 3. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, and to the soul that seeketh him. Verse 26. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So it's not enough to say it is for the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Yes, that's true. But it's only available to those who call. That's why the mercies of God are available. Many don't access it. They can call their uncles. In fact, they brag about their auntie and their uncles that are politicians. You cough and the person tells you, do you know my sister is a senator? Your sister is a senator. See where you are. You are bragging with somebody you call that won't pick. Loftiness of mind. My uncle is governor. Okay, your uncle is governor. All of us are eating Gary here. Won't you help yourself? I call your uncle. Let's hear. You will call, send message, no reply. But when you see people, you are echoing your uncle. And you are dying. It's a woe unto him that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. When you find people that are prone to receiving mercy, they call upon the Lord day and night. You read the story of Bartimaeus. Son of David, have mercy. God stopped. So the only set of people God stops for are those who cry for mercy. If you are big in your eyes, you will fight your battles. Never get to the point where you think you are sufficient in yourself, because you have not come to the end of your life. That's why you must master to depend on God's mercy now. Because you had a challenge that 10,000 can deal with. As you go ahead, there's another challenge of 1 million. There's another challenge of 10 million. And there's a challenge that money can't handle. So be careful not to demonstrate arrogance where you have strength. Call on God for help. Make it a programming of your mind. So that when you meet what is bigger than you, the same one that helped you when it was small will still show up. Is gracious unto them that call upon him. Number three, how do you secure mercy? By sustaining the fear of the Lord. The fear. And fear in this context is reverence. God is merciful to people who honor and reverence him. When you find people who are far from mercy, check, they have no regard for God. Look at Cornelius. He wasn't even born again. He was not part of the commonwealth of Israel. But because of reverence, mercy found him. And he got salvation. Acts 10 from verse 1 to 4. That's why I fear for my generation. We are so irreverent and godless. It's appalling. Even in church. The other day we went for Pastor Sunday's wedding in Kano. Service was ongoing. Service was ongoing. And the guys in the media room forgot to off the sound, the audio system. And the things they were saying were words from the gutters, talking about women. And they were live streaming the live service. It was so embarrassing. And we didn't know. We got the video and we were live. We came and played it live. Only to hear people who are supposed to be gatekeepers. You know, people are godless. They don't know that they are the ones amplifying the message to a larger audience. This message I'm preaching to you here, you have a few thousands here. In another 4 hours, 5 hours, almost 100,000 will hear it. In 1 week, 2 weeks, either the full message or clips from this message will be on more than 30 different platforms, and it would have reached 1 million. But somebody can be in the studio there who has no fear for God, and he will be playing. Sometimes you go to the media, they are doing Niger bet. Why service is going on? They are gambling. That's why you are preaching. You quote a scripture. You say, give me that scripture again. They don't remember. Because they are not following. And then you are wondering, Lord, why have you forsaken your people? He didn't forsake us. We forsook him. No reverence. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called Italian Band. Verse 2. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God daily. Verse 3. The guy didn't ask for salvation. Hope you know salvation comes by mercy. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. God who is rich in mercy, by his great love, wherewith he loved us, by grace are ye saved. The guy never asked for salvation, but he found mercy. Why? Because he feared God. The Bible said he saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour. That's the hour of mercy. 3 p.m. The angel of God coming to him, saying unto him, God was teaching him how to be saved. He said, when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up as a memorial before God. Verse 5 to 6, he now told him to go send for Peter to come and speak to him about the word of this life. You did ask for salvation, but your fear for God, your prayers, your almsgiving have shown that you qualify to be in the kingdom. This is what to do to be saved. When you have reverence for God, you can't be destroyed, sir. Mercy will come for you. So it's either through repentance, or through calling on the Lord, or through reverence. These are gateways for procuring mercy. Number 4, how do you access mercy? You must trust in God's mercies. Trust in it. Most of us don't trust in the mercy of God. We trust in the mercy of men. We trust in the promises of men. The guy promises you, he disappoints you, he promises again, and you keep going. But you can never be resolute and stand on what God says. Psalm 13, verse 5. Please learn to believe in the mercy of God that He can save you. Learn to believe in the mercy of God that He can deliver you. He said, for I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Anybody who trusts in his mercies will definitely rejoice in his salvation. The reason most of us are not seeing God's mercies is because we either don't believe it exists, or we know it exists, but we took it for granted. When you hear some of us talk with so much audacity, it's mercy we are standing on. I know God is too gracious to leave me in a pit. I don't know how, but I know. That's why, no matter the circumstance I find myself in, the first cry that will come out of my mouth is, Lord, have mercy. Because I know there is something about mercy that won't allow me to see destruction. So when you find men calling on God for His mercies, it's actually because they trust in His mercies. In Job 13 verse 15, we saw why Job did not perish. There was something the man knew. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He said, I will maintain my own ways before him. So even when it comes to a point where it looks as if the one who is afflicting me is God, which is not the case, but even if it looks like that, he's still the one I will run to. This is the childlike nature of faith. When you see a child, the mom will beat that child. The child will cry and still run to the mother.
There is something about children. They believe and believe and believe that even when it looks as if their parents are hurting them, their consolation is still in them. So you flog a child, the child still runs to you. You are flogging the child, he's still holding you. You hit the child, he's still holding you. Sometimes you are overwhelmed with mercy. If you continue, it's because you want to teach a lesson. And after you are done, you have no choice but to calm that child, cuddle the child, and bring him in. Our elders used to say, they flog with one hand, and they draw to cuddle with the other hand. We don't trust God's message. We believe the promises of politicians. And they come, deceive you. You didn't discern. Allow them into office. After they loot the world from first term, as first term is about to finish, they now bring some bags of rice to the village during Christmas and say, that thing we started, it's now we want to finish it. Do you know what they are finishing? And it's so appalling in our own country here. They bring the cards of tribal sentiments, and we still fall for it. Still fall for it. They bring the card of religion, we still fall. The politician you never saw in church, in the 2 months to election, suddenly he's in every miracle service. And he stands like a dove, waiting to be given opportunity to campaign. We must wake up, sir. Put your trust in God. He is enough. Even if a man will help you, God will be the one to rout him. Some of us are sick here. We are hoping on doctors. Now, I believe in doctors. So I respect them. But I believe it's only God that uses them to do something. I never put my trust in them. I learned it by experience. My brother was sick. First, God told me many months before to pray. I didn't. When he was eventually sick, he was in a teaching hospital. This one will come and walk. Over 6 doctors will follow him. Everybody, chief. They say, no, this is a consultant neurologist. This is a consultant. I kept hearing consultant. Every day, different diagnosis. Until a point comes, they come and stand and do like this. You will now regret to trust in a man. But the Bible said, they that put their trust in the Lord, they shall be like Mount Zion that shall not be moved. I learned my lesson from there. There's nothing I do under heaven that I trust in a man. Anyone doing anything well, I thank God for him. And I pray to God to strengthen him. But for me to turn from God to a man, it will not be in this lifetime again. It's a woe unto him that puts his trust in the arm of flesh. Trust in God's mercies. Number 5, as I begin to round up, how do you secure God's mercy? Through humility. 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 We saw King Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20, verse 1 to 6. The prophet came to him and said, put your house in order, for you will surely die. The guy went straight to his bedroom, turned to the wall, and began to talk to God. For a king to operate like that, he knows something about God that his army can't give him. He turned to the Lord in brokenness. I have served you with a perfect heart. So he acknowledged that he was not a king on a throne. He was a servant of God doing his bidding. And when God saw that, he told the same prophet, go and tell him, I have not only delivered him, I have added 15 years to his life. There's nothing mercy can achieve, but do you know how to secure it? Some of us tonight, what we need to do
is to look at God and say, Lord, forgive me for my arrogance towards you. Some of us, we need to turn to the Lord and say, Father, like the woman with the issue of blood, we have spent everything on doctors. Thank God for them. But now, if we might but touch the hem of your garment, we want to put our trust in you alone. Some of us, it's time for us to tell ourselves, this thing I keep doing that the Holy Ghost will always wrestle me for, I drop it at the altar. And you will see the way God's mercy will come sweep you off your feet like a flood. Every time men secure mercy, one of these things happens. Nebuchadnezzar was a king that became lofty and high-minded. Daniel 4, 34 to 37, God humbled him. He gave him the heart of a beast. And he went into the forest and lived like a beast for 7 years. Until he came to a point, he looked to heaven and he said, the Most High rules in the affairs of men. The moment he accorded God honor and humbled himself, instantly intervention came. These are channels. I was telling them in Kenya 3 weeks ago, I said in the spirit there are many currencies. Faith is one of them. Honor is another. Repentance is another. Humility is another. You buy spiritual things with spiritual currencies. And if you will secure mercy for whatever reasons, these are the channels. Why do I list them like this? I can decide to pick, call upon the name of the Lord, that is enough. But you see, there are many persons here. We have our peculiarities. Some of us, we have been calling on the Lord, but we have not repented. Some of us, we have been calling on the Lord, but we have not demonstrated humility. Some of us have been calling on the name of the Lord, but we don't even believe God's mercy. So it's important to buffet these realities so that you check the one that you need and you take it and apply it and you get your results. So you get mercy through the disposition of humility. Number six, you get mercy by showing mercy to others. Anybody who knows he needs mercy will himself become merciful. Matthew 5:7, he says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Luke 6:36, he says, be ye therefore merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. You can't be looking for mercy and you are wicked towards others. Even the people working with you in your house, they literally tremble when you show up. Somebody does one mistake and you will punish him for 3 months. When they ask you, you say so that he will never do it again. Augusta, if God responds to you like that, hope you will survive. Your worker is sick. You say, here, you must come to work. If you can't work, resign. Oh God, this person is sick, is confirmed. I'm not talking about those ones who hide in the guise of sickness. I don't know how I'm feeling. Come, let's check. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying somebody is sick. How can you insist that he will work? Say, here, you only get what you work for. Abba. Abba. Somebody is hospitalized. You say, every day he doesn't come to work. Deduct. Make your calculation. Wait, don't waste resources here. The day God will also not waste resources on you, you will cry and cry out blood in your eyes. You want mercy, you must show mercy. It's a principle. Go check men who enjoy God's mercy. You will notice they are so merciful. I took time to study about David. Even after Saul died, Jonathan died, a point came, David made an announcement. He said, is there anybody here who is still connected to the family of Saul? He said, I want to help him because of Jonathan. So when God is helping a man, don't be quick. It's not just praying on the mountain. No. Is there anybody in the lineage of Saul? This was a man who hunted David with javelin. David was not the type that will go to the church and testify, all my enemies have died. Is there anybody connected to the house of Saul? I want to help him because of Jonathan. Why? Because Jonathan showed him mercy. He knew that the law of mercy demands reciprocity. You must reciprocate mercy for you to have mercy. And they found a lame guy called Mephibosheth. David gave him a place on the table of kings. David restored his inheritances to him. That's what you call mercy. There are many conscienceless Christians who are hoping that God will deliver them. And they cry, the heavens are locked. Some of us, the beginning of mercy for us is to forgive somebody. You have kept that person in your heart for too long. Some of us, the beginning of mercy will be to uproot bitterness. Some people are so wicked, they are Haman generation. You offend them, they say, if we punish you, may God not forgive us. We will destroy your family and your lineage before we are appeased. You don't know men. No. They will tell you, if they will want to cut your finger one by one. It's your pain that gives them joy. And they don't know that they have been denatured in a bid to show revenge. Don't be like that. Jesus said, even your enemies, he said, be merciful unto them. He said, in doing so, you are heaping coals of fire on them. I pray against evil men here, but be careful for your fight against evil men not to make you become callous. Sustain the tenderness of your spirit. Number 7. How do you secure mercy? By interceding for others. This one does not only generate mercy for you, it also generates mercy for others. I showed you already from Exodus 32. Moses prayed for Israel. They found mercy. Verse 11 to 14. Abraham prayed for Lot. Genesis 18, 22 to 32. He obtained mercy. So one of the ways we provoke the release of mercy is through intercession. Either for ourselves or for others. And you need all of these things in your quiver. Because mercy is important. And then finally, how do you provoke mercy? Through praise and thanksgiving. When a man becomes full of gratitude and praise, he provokes mercy in his life. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, the Bible said, Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown into prison. No connection to help them. He said, at midnight, they prayed and they sang praises to God. And immediately, deliverance was engendered. They told us those days, he who sings well, prays twice. You provoke mercy through thanksgiving. Let the people praise thee, and the earth shall yield her increase. I will multiply them. They shall not be few. I will glorify them. They shall not be small. God has a system of intervention called mercy. That system produces deliverance, produces salvation, produces healing, gives second chance. But there is a way to sponsor it. And there is either repentance, there is either calling upon him, there is either showing others mercy, giving thanks, regardless of what may. I don't know what area you need mercy tonight, but I have given you a buffet of accessing God's mercy. My assurance is that somebody must receive his deliverance tonight. My conviction is that somebody will receive intervention tonight. Because one of the most potent forces of the spirit realm is the force of mercy. In the last prayer meeting we had, every time we hit the hour of mercy, strange things happen. People kept testifying as though there was something about that hour. No wonder the early church prayed at a time they called the hour of prayer. And that hour we discovered was the hour of mercy. They never skipped it because they knew that if you route the gate of mercy, you must come out with something. You must come out with something. For somebody tonight, you need a healing. For somebody tonight, you need an intervention from destruction. For somebody tonight, you need deliverance from death. Will you trust God's mercy? And if you will trust God's mercy, will you call upon Him? If you will do that, your affliction can turn around. You know, the Bible said, you should follow them who through faith and patience obtain the promise. I love patience. There are things that God takes His time to do, but I am more blessed when it happens now. The Bible says, now faith is. Now. I love it when it's what? Now. Now. And right now, we want to make a demand. We want to make a demand. You know, one of the things understanding does for you is that it gives you multiplicity of choices. If I want mercy, I can just route it by showing mercy to people. If I want mercy, I can call on Him, Lord, have mercy. If I want mercy, I can humble myself before Him. Those who know me will tell you, one of the ways I pray is to off the whole light in my room. And then I lie on the floor. And I can lie there for hours. Sometimes worship is playing at the background. And I'm just talking to Him from the deep recesses of my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, have mercy. I'm just lying there, humbling myself. I'm not relaxing, no. I just lie down. I prostrate before the Master. And when I'm doing that, things happen. Things happen. Things happen. That's one of the secrets of the 24 elders. They prostrate before Him. Tonight, if there's somebody here who needs mercy, I don't know about you, but if there's anybody here who needs mercy, jump up to your feet. It's time to put to work.
Hello, Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai.
Most times, when I'm preparing for a miracle service, the Lord will give me the channel to route. There are times when it drops in my spirit, I will heal by the anointing. There are times when it drops in my spirit, I will come in the weight of my presence and heal. There are times when it tells me, stir their faith, and I will respond and heal them. And there are times when He gets me to just share principles, so that people will apply. I stood here some 4 or 5 months ago and I taught on Thanksgiving. And I told you, we will thank God now and He will heal. And He honored it. Tonight, He asked me to show you, because you are going to need it on a flight. You are going to need it in the market. You are going to need it in your career. The circumstances that necessitate mercy, most of them comes through the element of surprise. I told you my story. I received all the sign, don't go. But I had a meeting in Oweri. I gave my word. And I said, I must go. And God knew that I was drained that season. There was no faith. I was tired. Don't go. He saw that my faith couldn't carry me. But I insisted. Pastor Son, who traveled? Is it Pastor Son who traveled with me that time? Where's Pastor Son? We got to the airport. In fact, before I left the house, I told my wife, I want to call these people that are not coming. She said, but you have given your word. I said to her, somebody has agreed with me. Let's stand on agreement. I went to the airport. I was walking like a dead man entering the aircraft. I've learned some lessons. I entered the flight. In fact, that flight, we got it very late. So I sat at the back. Plane took off. We were still accelerating. Suddenly, the plane entered the whirlwind. What you call a Euroclidon. And planes shook and started falling like a bus. Everybody, hey! Before I knew what was happening, I grabbed the metal. The strength I used in holding that metal. It was when we landed already that I realized my finger was paining me. All the energy that was in me, there was no faith. I thought somebody like me, if I was in an aircraft, I would say, peace be still. Lo and behold, I grabbed somebody's shirt, grabbed metal. Apostle was holding. If not for mercy, discernment failed, faith failed, but mercy said no. See, for somebody's life tonight, mercy will say no. I say for somebody's life tonight, mercy will say no. When we landed, I went to the pilot. This was an elderly British man. What happened? The guy looked at me. I don't know. It was mess up there, man. It was mess. You don't know? And we were depending on you to land us. Thank God for mercy. Even pilots, there is a day when they will say they don't know. Even doctors, there is a day when they will say they don't know. But the Bible said, him that keepeth Israel, neither sleep nor slumber. Him that keepeth Israel, neither sleep nor slumber. Can somebody make a demand of mercy? I don't know what you need to hold on. Some of us need to call. Some of us need to repent. Some of us need to humble ourselves. Whatever the Holy Ghost inspired. Son of David, have mercy on me. For some of you, what you need is thanksgiving. Give thanks. For some of you, what you need is to call upon the name of the Lord. For some of you, what you need is to repent. For some of you, what you need is to humble yourself. Whichever one the Lord tells you, begin to engage now. You know, the Bible says, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. Now, when you read that scripture, you need to take time to understand it. There is a reason why it will not prosper. You need to understand that. And then you also need to understand that Satan does not throw random arrows. If he wants to strike you, he studies you, studies your seasons, and he knows what you are vulnerable to part time. So your arrows were fashioned. So you must understand why it will not prosper. The guy who is holding iron is not a faithless man. A year before, I was in Ghana. I was driving on the road with my friend called Kusi, going for a meeting. A car hit us, and our car hit the road, tumbled to the other side. I said, it is well. Nobody moved. Faith was alive. But there was a day when Satan knew that my faith was depleted. He came with an attack. So you don't say I'm a champion here. Every one of us needs mercy. And I've shared with you, some of you, what you need to do now is to call for mercy aggressively. For some of you, you need to humble yourself. For some of you, you need to repent. And for some of you, you need to give thanks. As I was teaching, the Holy Ghost was telling you which one to do. Forget about who is standing with you. If he's thanksgiving, thank him and dance and ask for it. If he's crying, make sure you are louder than Bartimaeus. If it is to humble yourself, make sure you go flat, even much more than the 24 elders. You are trying to secure something for your destiny. In the next 2 minutes, can we make demand of mercy and provoke it? And provoke it. Go ahead. Katoka Parakota. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I don't want you to be religious tonight. I've just taught you something. I want you to see the efficacy. Listen to me. Listen to me. I showed you 8 ways of accessing mercy. I said number 1 is through repentance. How many of you sense that you need to repent from something? Lift your right hand. There's something you need to repent from. Now, you don't need to come out. I want you to apply what you have learned. Where you are standing there, begin to ask Him for repentance and genuinely make up your mind to forsake that. Begin to do that. Number two, because as I was teaching, the Holy Ghost was telling you which one you need to apply now. Number two, I taught you to call upon the Lord in prayer. How many of you sense a need to cry for mercy tonight? To cry. Because what you are going through, if you don't ask for mercy, shame, disgrace, destruction might come. I'm going to give you the opportunity in the next 1 minute. You are going to cry and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, concerning this matter, I ask for mercy. Number three, somebody needs the fear of God. How many of you sense you are taking God and the ways of God for granted? And you sense the need to ask Him to teach you His fear. You have undermined God too much. That's your cry. That's your gateway. Number four, I taught you about trusting in God's mercy. Some of you trust men. You trust systems. You don't trust God. How many of you sense the need to say, Lord, from today, I make up my mind to trust you? Number five, I told you about humility. How many of you feel you need to humble yourself before the Lord? You are too conscious of yourself, even in God's presence. Let me see your hand. Your channel tonight is humbling yourself. Number six, how many of you feel you need to show others mercy? You have not been sensitive to the needs of others. And you are making up your mind that from this service, anybody I meet that I can help or show mercy, I will. That's your gateway. Number seven, I told you about interceding for others. Some of you in this service, you don't need to pray for yourself. As I was teaching, God was showing you somebody who is sick that you need to pray for. Somebody who is impoverished that you need to pray for. And then number eight, I said thanksgiving. Don't do everything. Whichever the Lord puts in your heart, wherever you are, in every sense of modesty, begin to engage it now. Begin to engage it. I want to teach you how to walk spiritual things without being religious. If you need repentance, repent now. If you need to ask for mercy, ask now. If you need to humble yourself before Him. You need to help others, show others mercy. Do it now. Forget about the challenge. Engage the rivers of mercy. Engage the rivers. If you need to give thanks, give thanks. Give thanks. You need reverence, show it. And watch how His everlasting arms will cover you. Give us that song.
Thank you for your mercy, Lord. I'm amazed by your showing mercy.
That barrenness, we go now. That tumor, we go now. Those things, we break now. That attack will end now. Wherever you are standing, lift your hands toward heaven. The Bible said, it's for the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. He said, his compassion faileth not. He said, they are new every morning. Tonight, because of his mercy, somebody is receiving an intervention. I said, because of his mercy, somebody is receiving an intervention. I stand here on the premise of the mercy of God. And I decree and declare over you, every judgment that has been passed concerning your life that is against your prosperity, I decree and declare, they are canceled now. In the name of Jesus. Tonight, every arrow of destruction that is shot against you, maligning your health, shutting down your doors of opportunities, affecting your relationships, destroying the works of your hands, I decree and declare, in the name of Jesus, come out of that destruction now. Every health challenge you came here with, be it a blood disease, an organ disease, whatever form of infirmity, I take authority now in the name of Jesus. In this atmosphere of mercy, I command the chains of sickness to break now. I say, let the chains break now. In the name of Jesus. And everything that has disqualified you, in the name of Jesus, by the strength of his mercies, I decree and declare, receive another chance. In your career, receive another chance. In your business, receive another chance. In your ministry, receive another chance. Because of his mercies, I decree it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Go ahead and thank him for his mercies. And begin to receive your healing. Begin to receive your healing. Go ahead and thank him. Receive your healing. Receive your healing.
Oh Lord. There are new every morning. There are
already touching people. And from what I'm picking in the spirit, it's like God is dealing with people who have challenges around their stomach. I'm receiving now that somebody who came in here with ulcer, I think this person is towards my right, the Lord is telling me you have been healed of chronic ulcer. I'm just picking that signal right now. And there's somebody else with a gastric condition. It looks like chemicals are just churning all over. And sometimes it literally comes out of your mouth. As if it's coming forth. And it has created a lot of discomfort. The Lord is telling me he's healing that. And then somebody who has been trusting God for the fruit of the womb, the Lord is telling me the siege of barrenness has ended. See, you need to understand how these things work. Some of you are used to emotion. I went to the hospital. No, I was in the hospital with my wife. A dear family friend. Husband and wife just came to see us because my wife just put to bed. I think that was the first boy. And as I was escorting them down, I just heard in my spirit that God has given you a child. And they've not had another child 8 years after their first child. That month that I declared it, the woman traveled abroad. And it looked as if it was not going to happen. Something brought her back for 1 week. She went again. That 1 week that she came back, she took him. Today, there's a boy to that effect. You need to know spiritual things. Things are happening. You have made demand on mercy. Now, receive the results of mercy. I say, receive the results of mercy. Beyond bodily healing, even circumstances are turning around. They are turning around. They are turning around. Setups and gang-ups have just been destroyed. Gang-ups and setups concerning your life, your career, and destiny have just been destroyed. Somebody who is trusting God for an 11th hour intervention, before 12 midnight today, you will receive that intervention. In the name of Jesus, as we are talking now, somebody is receiving good news. Somebody is receiving a good news. In the name of Jesus, we bless you, Lord. You are
holy, Lord, and forever you are. We bless you, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, you are.
This month, we are going to have testimonies every week from this service. Go and write it down. Some of you, we have week 1 testimony, week 2 testimony, week 3 testimony, week 4 testimony. I thought I was prophesying to someone. In the name of Jesus, give the Lord the shout.
Wherever you are, hallelujah.
I'm not feeling any anointing. We are just practicing what you have learned. And these things, they are yea, and in Christ Jesus, amen. Glory to God. Now, very quickly, I'm seeing something like a vision. This person has, I think this is pie, what I'm saying. It's like you are struggling to use the toilet. I'm seeing that thing dematerialize and that pain leaving this moment. Pie. Somebody has just been addressed that issue. You will feel that pain. If you have felt that pain left you already, let me see your hand. A pile condition, pile. You will sense that pain has left you. Is there anybody here with that condition, pile, and you are sensing that relief now? Are you sensing that relief? Are you sensing that relief already? Are you sensing the pain going already? Somebody has just, yourself too, pile. Now, you have asked God for mercy, come out, come. You have asked God. Who are those people healed of ulcer and gastric condition? I heard that. If you have received the healing already, come. If you have sensed the healing already, come. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. And forever you are God. We bless you, Lord.
You are whole. And forever you are whole. We bless you, Lord. You are whole.
Even in the overflow, they can come.
Forever you are whole.
And if you are healed online, you can write it.
We bless you, Lord. You are whole. Holy Lord, we bless you, Lord.
We bless you, Lord. You are holy. You are holy, Lord. Please hear me. I'm seeing a lot of deliverances from accidents. And I'm also seeing restoration of properties that were confiscated by force. They took your property. This month will not end until you receive it back. With compensation. With compensation. In the name of Jesus. Now hear this. You ask for mercy. Those of you who were trusting God for bodily interventions and ask for mercy, check your bodies 1 minute. Just check. Check. If you have noticed a change, a pain has left you, a bone condition has been addressed, a tumor has gone, let me see your right hand. You asked for mercy and you have sensed an intervention. Wave your right hand. You can lift it up. Wave it. You have received. Wave it properly. Don't be afraid. Wave it. I'm seeing hands. Wave it. Now, those of you who are called by word of knowledge, come forward a little. Can I see those hands one more time? You prayed for something bodily. Now you have noticed a change. Wave your hand. Lift it up and wave it. Wherever you are standing, come quickly, come quickly, come quickly, come quickly. I'm seeing somebody, I think this is a lady, you are losing strength and you are shrinking. As I'm talking now, I don't know if this person was carried here, but I'm seeing that you are just lying down at home. There's literally no strength. This person is emaciating. And you are so weak as if you are dying. Is there somebody here like that? You were literally carried. I don't know if you were carried here. But they carry you around because I'm seeing you lie down. Lying down all the time. You can't walk. Is there anybody like that here? I'm seeing God put strength on that person. And forever you are gone.
We bless you, Lord, you are whole. And forever you are God. We bless you, O God. We bless you, Lord, you are whole.
Where are my guys? Can we take 2 or 3 testimonies? Very quickly. 2 or 3. Now, hear this. Sit down for a moment. Sit down for a moment. Tonight, we are just engaging the truth of the Word of God. I'm doing this so that you will leave this service, you can kneel down in your room and ask for mercy, for something, and see the result. It's not all the time you say, oh, this case is anointed. No. There are principles for your intervention. Just take 2-3 testimonies first. I'm seeing a vision of somebody who your stomach is swelling. Like there's a kidney condition. Your stomach is swelling. As I'm talking now, that stomach is shrinking back. That size is reducing now. There's a kidney infection. Please check yourself. Wherever you are, run to the front here. Your help has come. Your stomach was swelling, but as I'm talking now, it's shrinking. Either in this or in the overflow, I caused that affliction. Check, check, check. 3. Yahweh, Yahweh. Talk to me.
Apostle, sir.
Yes, please.
This sir is here of ulcer.
You had ulcer? For how long?
As last year. So the ulcer has stopped me from, like, I couldn't fast.
You couldn't fast?
From my heart here to my back.
Were you feeling pain?
Yes, like wound. That wound all over my stomach. Yes.
So all over your stomach, you felt pains like wound?
Yes.
What happened now?
But before you said it, before the word came, I felt like something left me. So I just touched my body before it now.
You can't feel that pain anymore?
I can't feel.
Sister, come and check. Press that stomach aggressively. 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 And you are just looking like that. Give the Lord the shout.
That is testimony, yes, sir.
Permanent. What happened?
My brother came in with ulcer that lasted for 12 years.
Ulcer, 12 years.
12 years.
But what were you feeling before?
Sir, even yesterday, I never slept well.
You didn't sleep well yesterday?
Yes, and I came here with that pain.
You came with pain?
Yes, sir.
You felt pain?
Yes, sir.
Where were you feeling pain?
In my stomach.
Your stomach?
Yes, sir.
If they touch it, do you feel it?
Yes, I could feel it.
Before now?
Yes, sir.
You can't feel it anymore. Come on, give the Lord a shout.
We have a testimony online.
Talk to me.
Brother White was connected watching.
And now who?
Brother White.
Was Brother White.
To this service.
Yes, please.
He's currently connected to this service. He says, I just killed a scorpion in my room. He says, my attention was drawn to it by a flying insect.
Fired it out. Every arrow shot into your space, they are not just revealed, they are going back to sender. Talk to me.
Apostle, sir. The two brethren here have been healed of ulcer condition, which have lasted for 2 years. This very brother, he couldn't participate in the January fast as a result of the...
You couldn't participate in the fast?
Yes.
Because of ulcer?
Yeah, I came here with back pain.
Back pain as well. And he has checked to her. Permanent. Permanent. In Jesus' name.
The two sisters here are healed of gastric condition.
You had a gastric condition?
Yes, sir. You said something about effusing gas. So usually at night, I just do, depending on what I eat, I just effuse gas out of me.
How do you know you are healed?
I just have faith.
You have faith? What happened?
I have this ulcer from the back like this. I can't spread, I can't do it.
You couldn't bend?
Yes.
Do what you couldn't do before. You couldn't do that before? Give the Lord a big hand. Permanent. Permanent.
Apostle, we have
two more.
Joel online. He says, yes, Apostle, I'm the one in bed feeling weak and troubled walking today. He says, amen, I've now received my healing.
He was bedridden.
Yes, sir.
Now he's healed. One more.
He says, we have Eunice Ashimom says, I've been healed of peptic ulcer disease.
Peptic
at your declaration.
Ulcer. Healed. Yes, save us.
On you, baby. He said, I was having terrible gastric condition.
Gastric condition.
Yes, sir.
Address.
Papa, sir. Our brother here, for as long as 26 years, have been plagued with a hernia condition.
You had hernia.
And according to him, he said he couldn't bow. He couldn't bend for long. But he said, while you prayed, something left that particular condition.
So you,
that
you
particular situation.
Was it diagnosed by a doctor? Huh? But you felt pain here. How do you know it was hernia? Are you a doctor? Your mother told you. Is she a medical practitioner? Oh, it lasted for a long time. What couldn't you do before? Give me the mic. You couldn't bend.
Yeah, I can bend.
Do what you couldn't do before. It's permanent in the name of Jesus Christ. We have to stop. Two more.
So yes. This is the man you picked through the word of knowledge.
What was the issue?
He's experiencing constipation.
Constipation?
Yes, sir.
Were you feeling pain? Was it a bad condition? For how long?
Last week, Sunday, when I came, when you were preaching, I visited the toilet more than 5 times. And I was struggling in the toilet.
You were struggling?
Yes, sir. And then I said, if I leave this program and I go home, I want to come back with my testimony. So throughout today, when you were giving the message, I did not feel anything.
What happened now?
I'm okay. I'm very,
the
very
pain
okay.
Is gone.
Yes, sir.
You can't feel it anymore. Permanent in the name of Jesus. Take that last one and we shut down.
Apostle, we have a testimony here. It says, I'm recently struggling with weight. That means the stomach was bulged, but it was weighty. It says, as we prayed, it says, I now touched my stomach and it has moved back.
The stomach has flattened. It can't remain like that. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Papa, sir, there is a situation here you prophesied about. Our mother here, for the past 2 years, she said she has been experiencing a swelling of the stomach.
Your stomach was swollen?
She said, as you were ministering, at that point, the stomach was strong. She said, as you gave the word, suddenly something left that particular place, and right now the stomach has gone back to its
stomach. It has gone back to a normal size. It is permanent in the name of Jesus. One more. We shut down.
Apostle, sir, the brother received a bodily healing and a financial healing.
Did you hear financial healing? Maybe you are not listening. Talk to me before I release the word.
Hallelujah, church.
You can tell this man is not a church man. Yes. So if he tells you God touched him, believe it. Hallelujah, church.
In fact,
give the Lord a picture. Go ahead, my brother.
This is my first time of coming to this church. It has always been my dream to see this apostle.
What happened, sir?
When I was coming here, I used my last card. In fact, some people even saw me begging and Okada to at least deduct something from me so that I have something with me to even use as offering.
It's not a small experience, though. Allow this man to appreciate.
But immediately,
in this Nigeria of today, if you have your last card, better begin to ask for intervention, because nobody has to give you. If you turn here, that person too needs help. Talk to us.
Immediately you climbed this altar and started the message. The first call was, which account will we send you the money?
Come on! I decree and declare, as you walk out of this meeting, you will receive that call. Which account? Which account? Which account? Come on! Yeah! 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 Something, there are different dimensions of the joy of the Lord. There is a joy that comes from intimacy. There's another joy that comes from answered prayers. It says, until now you have asked for nothing. Ask and receive that your joy. You don't know what I'm saying. My wife will tell you what happened to us last week. Somebody drove to my house and opened the car, said, this thing belongs to you. I wish you know what it is. God will give you your own. Talk to me, sir.
Even where I sit there, they can testify that I was busy receiving call and also praying, because the call seems to be somehow disturbed. And all it was about is your account number.
If I, how come received, you on your phone and you are...
Sir, because my phone was almost like the least of my hope.
So what happened to you? Summarize it.
So I've received two money from two different people.
During the service?
Yes, sir. In fact, I have to go out and buy something to refresh myself to them.
That means when the guy came in, the condition was not... It was... It needed intervention. That's why I told you, some of you are not yet desperate. You have not reached there. You have not reached there. Those who are there, they know. They know. He said, when you become restless, I prophesy over you. Anything making you desperate, they go down now. If my victory dance so to Jehovah, he has never lost a battle. Take to it, what is the name? Band of battle. We're out of time. Write your testimonies. We will share them in the course of the week. But please hear me. Hear me. The Lord is telling me that there will be circumstantial turnaround in this month of March. As surely as the Lord liveth, I decree and declare everything happening around you that is making you an object of mockery, in the name of Jesus, in the next 72 hours, they are turnaround for your good. Give the Lord a song. Your healings are permanent in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Follow the right, the eye by your left to the back. They will help you chronicle your testimonies and we will check them. Now, before we sit down, I don't want anybody to leave this service and miss out. If you are here tonight, you have not met the author of mercy. You are still taking a gamble. The surest way to accessing mercy is to have Jesus in your life. You want to make that public proclamation and say, Jesus, I've heard about you, but today I want to surrender to you to receive your life into my spirit. Lift your right hand. Let me pray with you. You want to surrender completely to Jesus. No religion. You want to surrender. Lifting your hand wherever you are, take a bold step and walk to the altar here. This is a journey of new beginning for you. Come from wherever you are. Those in the overflow, go to the front of the screen. Ushers, direct them to come quickly. We are out of time. Quickly, come. Come, come, come fast. Is one of the easiest things to do in life because the price for it was paid by Jesus. Your job is just to believe and receive. And the way to do it is to declare Him as the Son of God and to declare, believing in your heart, that He died for your sins and that on the third day He rose again from the dead. That simple act of faith keeps you eternal life and brings you to God's kingdom. You want to do that now? Place your right hand on your chest
and say these prayers after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. Tonight I stand before the church publicly to confess that this same Jesus from today is my Lord and my Savior. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, for accepting me. In Jesus' name I have declared. The Lord keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, lift up his countenance over you, and give you peace. All the days of your life you are blessed and you are preserved. In Jesus' precious name. God bless you richly.